Achieving a gorgeous grin from home isn't a total mystery with BiteClear aligners. Just don't be surprised if all of your sleuthing friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. BiteClear aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Welcome in to another edition of the Under Center podcast on NBC Sports Chicago. I'm JJ Stankovic, joined in our ceremonial coat closet by John Moon Mullen. Also with NBC Sports Chicago. Moon, the Bears are coming off a win, only the second time this year. The feeling around Halas Hall this week, certainly positive. But it was positive last week coming off the Vikings game. Yeah. You can just tell the difference Mitchell Trubisky has made in this building since he became the starting quarterback, right?
Which is kind of amazing if you think about it, because the kid really never played.
Yeah.
So how do you get excited about somebody who'd never played? But I think we saw that even before the Minnesota game, that what he had shown some of the defensive guys in particular, nicknamed him the Pretty Boy Assassin, which is a real compliment. So he had shown them not just the coaches, but the players were liking what they saw. So you really saw some energy. And I think somebody you were involved, I think, with Kendall White Wright didn't even say that they – I think he's – Trubisky's kind of sharpened the focus with his patience or something, which is huge coming from this team.
Yeah, he's done that. He's instilled this sense of confidence in everyone, too, that rubs off. And, you know, the raising all boats, the cliche saying about that. But when you do have a guy who instills confidence in the other 10 guys who are on the field with him and the defense – That's huge. Yeah. That's huge for a franchise.
Well, that's what, you know, honestly, that's the cliche of that's what a quarterback is. I mean, if you don't do that, then you got the wrong guy.
Yeah.
You know, all the great ones pick the team up. And if the team needs a boost, he's good enough to do that. And the Bears haven't had that for a while. I mean, Jay Cutler would go the other direction as often as you make a great play and made too many interceptions. But, you know, the way Trubisky has played, I think they became even more impressed last week. If the Minnesota game was good, the Baltimore game was much better.
So now we talk about how impressive Trubisky was. If you just look at his stat line, you're not seeing these great numbers that you'd think would come with this high praise, but it's how he's gone about the offensive game plan that I think is making everyone so positive. You know, the six throwaways he had against Baltimore where he's making good decisions, he's not forcing balls. That is what the Bears want out of their young quarterback right now.
Yeah, which is funny, and I think we talked about, don't you find it amusing that the criticism level of Dow Loggins, well, yeah, you got to let the kid go.
No.
Win the game. The purpose, purpose is to win the game. And they called 20 pass plays, 21 if you count Tariq Cohen. They called 20 pass plays, four of them were sacks, six of them were throwaways, and 50 runs. So whatever it takes to not expose him, and I think we, you know, just hearing Ron Rivera and Thomas Davis, part of the Carolina team that they're going to be facing, I think they understand that's actually the way you want to do it.
Yeah, I thought Ron Rivera's comments on it were really interesting in that he said, you know, I asked him, what has stood out to you about how the Bears have operated their offense with Trubisky? And he said, look, if you ask a rookie quarterback to throw it 40 times,
big time,
you're not going to win.
Big
look
trouble.
I mean, Jared Goff last year. He was asked to throw the ball a lot with a bad receiving core and an offensive line and a running game that were worse than what the Bears have right now, but he was asked to do way too much, and look at where it got him, seven losses.
Yeah.
Trubisky already has a win in two starts. He came close to one in his first start. If the goal right now is to win games while slowly bringing along your rookie quarterback, how can you criticize Dow Loggins for what they've done?
Well, and there's really two parts. You know, with John Fox, a defensive coach in particular, there's really two goals. One is to get, you know, is to be a good quarterback, make plays and so forth. The other is to not make mistakes. Don't give my defense a short field. Don't give the other guys a short field to play on. And I think he learned. I think we really saw some growth from that Minnesota. You know, when he kind of got baited by Harrison Smith.
Yep.
That's an NFL safety who sets you up for a pick, and the kid saw that, and then had a good week with you know. Now all of a sudden he's throwing balls to the peanut vendors instead of the defensive backs.
Yeah, I mean Baltimore had 9 interceptions coming into this game. Yeah. They're a ball hawking secondary and a defense that's going to throw a lot of exotic blitzes at you. So the stats stood out to me on NFL Next Gen Stats. Mitchell Trubisky had 3.49 seconds to throw the ball. That's the highest time, average time, any quarterback had in Week 6. What that tells me, I mean, and that's obvious. There are so many rollouts, so many boots.
Long just plays.
So one of the biggest issues with Trubisky coming out of college was his blitz recognition. That was kind of a soft part of his game. What the Bears are doing is they're almost taking that away on a lot of plays. Where if you're rolling out, I mean, you still have to recognize the blitz, but you're not sending him into a drop back on a blitz that he can't recognize a lot. There are still some plays that he didn't do the right thing in terms of blitz recognition, but on a lot of plays, he's outside the pocket, he's making throws on the run, and they're not asking him to do something that he's not quite good at yet.
Yeah, and I think it's going to be, but let's go forward to Carolina, which is Ron Rivera, has a history of with Lovie Smith. In fact, he and Lovie used to clash a little bit over Chico wanted a blitz. he came up with the 85 Bears. Cry havoc and let's slip the dogs of war. And when he got to San Diego, I just went back and looked. He was the linebacker coach. They opened the 2007 season against Rex Grossman, and they blitzed him, sacked him 3 times, held him to 3 points. Then come a little farther into the 2010, this was almost comical. The Bears opened at San Diego, the first preseason game. Cutler was on for 8 plays, and I think they blitzed on 6 of them. Sacked him, had a corner blitz. NFL etiquette, they don't do that. Well, Chico was really going to send a message because by then he was D coordinator. So looking ahead to what's going to come this week, this is a very aggressive defensive coach. He's not a rope-a-dope guy. It's not they're playing for make some turnovers. So I'm intrigued to see whether they use kind of a mush rush because you're fact about the length of play. You don't want this kid outside the pocket. Now you're not to put him in the Aaron Rodgers, mobile quarterback.
Right.
The one thing you don't want him to do is start running, get outside the pocket. So do they use a mush rush, keep him inside where the DNs don't sell out, and then blitz him? They'll show him some blitzes. So Rivera's history plus, and now there's some tape on the kid.
Yep.
Now he's no secret anymore. Mm-hmm. So I'm intrigued to see how they defense him.
Yeah, I mean, this is what's going to be fascinating about this year for Trubisky is when week to week he builds up more tape of how he's running the offense, what kind of throws he can make, and how he adjusts to it. How, not only he, but how Dow Loggins and John Fox design a game plan to help him adjust to it. I thought the game plan against Baltimore, you can say it was controlled, it was conservative. I thought it worked because they won the game and they didn't ask Trubisky to do too much. And, I mean, let's not forget, he only started 13 games in his college career. It's not like he has reams of experience of even facing college exotic blitzes. A lot of this is still new to him. And to figure out how to get him to be the most effective quarterback he can be, it's not going to be him throwing the ball 40 times. It's not going to be him hucking deep balls to Trey McBride.
Right.
It's going to be him moving the pocket. If he doesn't see anything, throw it away, live to run another play.
Yeah, it's funny to think of how he plays. I mean, honestly, and this is going to sound really far out there, he physically reminds me of Favre. And having seen Favre from literally the first time he came on the field, which was against the Bears, the first of start, but he's physically about the same size. He even describes himself as a gunslinger.
Yep.
And then he kind of retracted. You kind of walked back. I didn't mean it, Dowell.
A gunslinger, but not in the way that, like, the last Jay Cutler was a gunslinger.
Yeah, exactly. So, I think he will flourish with a controlled game plan, but he's kind of looking downfield. Quarterbacks want to throw. They don't want to hand off.
Right.
So I think the funny part will be when Loggins goes from, you got 2 plays, kid. You got to run, and then you can check to a run. When they actually have you might check to a pass. I think maybe that'll happen this week. But again, how he responds, because now there's tape on him, and those defensive coaches are more football smart at this part than he is. So how he responds to them, because there's some really good ones out
there. They're going to take away the thing that he does best, and the thing he does best is move outside the pocket and throw on the run. But so the other stat that I pulled off of Next Gen was they have this stat that tracks aggressiveness. So basically it's throws that are made when a cornerback is within 1 yard of the receiver. Mm-hmm. Trubisky was at 6.3% last week. That's the second lowest, only behind Brett Hundley, who obviously had a pretty rough go of it after Aaron Rodgers' injury. But that partly tells me the Bears, you know, Trubisky was smart. He didn't force any throws. Mm-hmm. It also tells me the Bears' receivers are not really getting
there
open.
There is always a defender within a yard of a Bears wide receiver.
Right. Yeah. So until the Bears can get a receiver who can get open consistently, which will probably be 2018, This is what the offense is going to have to look like. To say we need to open it up and we need to have Trubisky throw it more, who's he going to throw to? He doesn't have anyone right now who he can throw to consistently who's going to keep getting open.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see. It just occurred to me, you know, coming off of what Kendall Wright said, and, you know, the receivers are kind of, their ears perk up now, knowing he's in there. You know, one of them told me, even back in training camp, that ball comes out hot. Mm-hmm. Not hard necessarily, but it's quick. And I think it wasn't McBride because he wasn't here, but one of the receivers, maybe it was keeping Cam Meredith, said, you know, I came out of my break and I turned around, the ball hit me in the face mask because it was right there when it was supposed to be. And I think that's what he's going to be. That's the interesting thing about him. He's going to get something out of those. So you better be ready for the ball. And now, once he learns what NFL open really means, which is a yard, then I think, you know, sometimes college quarterbacks, well, they used to, you know, they're playing Little Sisters of the Poor and there's 8 yards and there's not even a defensive guy in your field of vision.
Right.
That's not the NFL. And I think this kid already is starting to recognize that.
So I go back to the Minnesota game, and Trubisky looked good on those kind of deep outs where he found Trey McBride, the one that got called back. For the Cody Whitehair holding penalty. He made a couple of those throws. Those stood out when Ron Rivera was talking about him, that he's able to make those throws. The week after, Baltimore basically took those away. The way their defense set up was to sort of take those throws away. They only had 8 in the box on 36% of Jordan Howard's runs. That's pretty low compared to what other teams had done. But I think it was because they were trying to just take away those deep 20-yard, 15-yard outs. Going forward now, okay, so if you can take those away, what's the next thing that you can take away? It's probably Trubisky rolling outside. So like what you said, Moon, with like the mush rush, just basically play contain. But so then I think to what Trubisky did when he hit Kendall Wright for that big reception in overtime, where he basically, both edge rushers were on him, and he just kind of calmly stepped up into the pocket, rolled a little bit to his right, and then found Kendall Wright. Even if you play contain, he can still make a move to make a throw on the run. He's still that good.
Yeah, with the thing that I really worry about with the guy, getting back to Rivera, is so you do a double A-gap blitz, or you really come right out. You know, keep the end zone, don't let him outside, but here comes the middle.
Right.
And let's force Cody Whitehair to make a block, because we know he'll hold once in a while. Again, no slight of – sorry, Cody. But – You want it, you're right. We'll contain him on the outside and we'll collapse in front of him. It's exactly what you talk about. Let's not let him step forward. Suddenly he can't climb the pocket. Well, where's he going to go? So that, you know, I think, again, talk about his adjustment. They're going to throw something at him, and kid, how do you respond? I don't mean to call him a kid, but...
That seems to be where Tariq Cohen can make a pretty big impact. Because Rivera talked, too, about when you have Howard and Cohen lined up in the backfield. If you go nickel, they're just going to hand it off to Howard and run it down your throat. If you go base, then you can split Cohen out, and he's matched up against a linebacker.
Yeah.
That I thought, I was thinking about that, and I'm thinking about the future of where the Bears' offense can go. And it's like, wow, that can be really dynamic if you get a couple of receivers who can consistently catch the ball on the outside. Whoa, you're lining up Cohen and Coward, geez. Cohen and Howard in the backfield. And you maybe get a top receiver on the outside, or just someone good who can catch the ball on the outside. And this Bears offense could, in 2018, 2019, look really dynamic. But for right now, it's not going to look like that. It's going to look like it's going to be very controlled, and it's going to give Trubisky the best chance to win them football games while kind of slowly bringing them along. This is the hand that Dal Loggins has been
That's
dealt.
That's what he got. He doesn't have a handful of aces.
Right. But he, so far, he's made it work. And to go back to your point earlier, just I don't quite get the criticism of Dal Loggins when this is what he's given, and he seems to be doing a pretty good job with what he's been given.
It's some of the criticism of him is just kind of interesting. Well, I think there's a lot of hostility toward the Fox and the staff, and right. you can do that with two losing seasons and a bad start to a third season, but they just don't have the options. So I'm interested to see how this goes forward, because they can start winning some games. All of a sudden, mm-hmm. now you can let's cool on the John Fox is out of here talk.
Right.
If they win, you know, roll off five wins somehow, mm-hmm. whatever, that's another whole discussion. But, you know, looking back at even a Hall of Fame quarterback, Ben Roethlisberger, when he came into the league, I went back and looked. He threw average 15 passes as mm-hmm. a rookie and 17 and they won the Super Bowl and then went to the AFC Championship right. game. So they don't need him to throw. You can win. And both of those years, and for many years, the Steelers were the one of teams that was consistently, you know, 55-60% run.
Mm-hmm.
So you can win that way if you have a quarterback, which they think they've got with Trubisky, mm-hmm. all of a sudden you start stacking the box, and now the kid can really hurt you.
And an offensive line that is, for the first time this year, playing with some consistency mm-hmm. up front. This is now, we're going into what, week? Okay, so Green Bay, Minnesota, Baltimore, this is now the fourth week of the same five guys up front, the third week of full practice.
Right. Was it Green Bay? They have the same. I know they.
Sitton came back for that game.
Okay.
But I mean, that was a short week of practice. They barely did anything. So now we're in week three of full consistency mm-hmm. on the offensive line. I think that's starting to show with Jordan Howard and how they're, you know, especially the way they attack the edge has been. This is now two straight games. They've attacked the edge and they've done really well with Jordan Howard and Tariq Cohen running outside zone. That's something that, going forward, you can win that way, like you said.
And what they're doing, which, again, I give Loggan some credit for this, because if somebody's making those play calls, you know, the tackles are not really the strength of this offensive line. Well, if you want to help Charles Leno out, run at his guy. Mm-hmm. You know, he's usually blocking a smaller, faster guy.
Right.
Now, this week, they'll have Julius Peppers coming from somewhere, so good luck. We wish you good luck with that.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of out of a very revitalized Julius Peppers.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't think he holds any hostility toward, because Mark Trestman's gone. He wasn't a big fan of Trestman. But you help out your tackles when you can run the edges.
Mm-hmm.
So now they can fire off, or you set up a situation where they can sell the run and then mm-hmm. and still drop back into coverage. So, again, to your bigger point, I think Loggins is doing a terrific job with the hand he's dealt,
mm-hmm.
which, you know, they don't have Jonathan Ogden in his prime at left tackle. So, well, let's work with Charles Leno. And they are.
Dal Loggins is still pretty young. He's, what, 36, something like that, 36 or 37. He's still a young guy. And, you know, I think if you're the Bears and you're looking forward, and, you know, one of the big things this year was how does Trubisky progress with this coaching staff? So far, so good. Granted, we're two games in, but so far, so good.
Somebody is whispering sweet nothings, really good sweet nothings in his ear hole. But, you know, in fact, when Loggins was hired, I remember, and I've done this with, you know, when a coach comes in, okay, where's he been and what's he done? Well, and he really wasn't very impressive.
Mm-hmm.
And I wrote, whoa, he was at Tennessee, where they had Jake Locker.
Mm-hmm.
How'd that work out? And then Cleveland, which is...
Yeah, Cleveland.
Sorry about that. That's a moment of silence for anybody's career when they go to Cleveland.
Sorry, DeShone Kizer.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, the franchise had passed, what, twice on
Watson and
Watson. And once
and
on
Trubisky.
So, and maybe Kizer will work out, but it's obviously their jury rigging. But so the point with Loggins, you can, a person's past is prologue sometimes, but I'm not sure what he had to work with. Mm-hmm. I mean, didn't even have a handful of deuces at those places.
Right.
So.
Okay, so let's finish this up now that we've kind of defended Dal Loggins here and the game plan. Let's finish it up. So the NFC North got thrown into complete chaos with Aaron Rodgers' mm-hmm. season, light probable season-ending broken collarbone. The Lions went out and laid an egg against New Orleans. Minnesota now might be getting Teddy Bridgewater back soon. That could change things, but... Okay, so the Bears are 2-4. I'm not going to sit here and tell you they have a shot at making the playoffs. But do they have a shot at making... I mean, do they have a shot of at least being somewhat competitive and making a run
right now? I think the bigger question, and it should be every week, do they have a shot at beating the Carolina Panthers?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yes.
So let's, and then we'll worry about the New Orleans Saints after that. Mm-hmm. So, you know, taking a long view is really the wrong thing. You don't want them doing that.
Well, yeah,
so
right.
So do they have a shot at beating the Panthers? Absolutely.
Yeah.
So, and I think that's the next step. Which is going to be, you know, talk about stacking wins. I think this is where you're going to see the overall team get better, because mm-hmm. the belief in each other and in the coaches. Because if you keep doing what the coaches tell you and you keep losing, you know, the voices, right. The coach's voice loses some of its edge. So, no, I think, and you mentioned Detroit. Somehow Matthew Stafford will always be Matthew Stafford. Mm-hmm. Really, really good. The arm, Jay Cutler, that kind of arm.
Yep.
But something happens in Detroit. No offense to Caldwell or anybody mm-hmm. else over there, but I don't trust them.
Yeah.
Minnesota, if Case Keenum plays, and then Bridgewater takes mm-hmm. them even better. Yeah, that's the team to worry about, because even if Rodgers comes back, it could be too late in the season yep. to help the Packers. So we'll see.
So there are two teams that are 5-1 after are going into Week 7, the Kansas City Chiefs and the Philadelphia Eagles. There are two teams that are 0-6, the San Francisco 49ers and, surprise, surprise, the Cleveland Browns. Everyone else is within – oh, sorry, the New York Giants are 1-5. Everyone else is within – has 2-4 wins in the NFL. Mm-hmm. That is – that's 27 teams are within 2-4 wins going into Week 7. To me, that the parity in the NFL is at an all-time high.
Or some people would say all-time low.
All-time low. But the New York Giants yeah. went into Mile High, or whatever it's called now, Sports Authority mm-hmm. Stadium, and beat the Denver Broncos soundly. Like, this season looks like it's shaping up to just be a kind of a weird year in the NFL.
Yeah.
So if you start, you know, when Trubisky took over, some people were saying, well, the progress is the most important thing. The wins aren't. This year, shoot.
Wins are important.
Wins
yeah,
are important.
Come on.
Wins are always important. But yeah. shoot, this year, I mean, you go 8-8, you might be a pretty decent team.
Yeah,
I mean,
you could make the playoffs. So, but right. yeah, we'll worry about that. Again, we'll just stick with the Panthers.
Right.
But, you know, the funny part, you mentioned, name two teams on the Bears' schedule, the San Francisco 49ers and the Cleveland Browns. Thank you very much.
Yep.
So there's two.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I mean, they're probably looking at the Bears saying, well, we can get healthy against those guys. Yeah, but I think maybe it's coincidence, but – honestly, I hate to say this, but I really crossed the New York Giants off my take them seriously when they signed Brandon Marshall.
Mm-hmm.
You know they're not going to be in the playoffs. That's just what Brandon Marshall mm-hmm. does. No offense, Brandon, but that's what he does. That's where playoffs go to die, mm-hmm. and he wanted to keep his TV career going. Now he's hurt, and then he gets hurt,
right.
and then they go beat the Broncos.
Yeah.
I'm just saying that's mm-hmm. probably coincidence, but maybe not.
Yeah. This is a weird year in the NFL, and look, if you put together game plans like Dahl Loggins put together, and as long as I one other little note here, Ron Rivera said the Bears have a, quote, dynamic special teams unit. I don't quite know what game he was watching on Sunday, if that's what.
Yeah, I mean, and that's, you forget about that from the game. You know, the Bears do need to win a game in 60 minutes.
Yes.
Well, they would have, except for the flukish two scores given
yeah.
up. And in fact, the defense gave up three field goals.
Yeah.
They gave up
right.
a two-point conversion mm-hmm. as well, but that would have never happened without a
yeah.
special team score. So
right.
this game should have been 24-9.
So we just spent 20 minutes talking about the offense and then threw in, well, the special teams still have to do it. But you know what? if they can just get solid offense, solid defense, and not give up a 77-yard punt return when you're up 8 with however many minutes to go,
something good can happen. Well, yeah, and
yeah.
Maybe they just need the special teams to be bad, because right
yes.
now they're horrible.
Yeah.
If they can upgrade to bad,
right.
maybe you might do something.
Go from an F
Kidding.
To a D.
Yeah, exactly.
An F to D. Yeah. All right. Well, I think that's going to do it for us here on the Under Center podcast. We've covered quite a few topics. Let us know what you think about our defensive Dahl Loggins, because I think a lot of you out there, you know, have some opinions on Dahl. But you know, I'd love to hear them. I'd love to hear why you may not be as happy with Dahl Loggins as we, you know, just kind of set up here. So tweet at us. I'm at JJ Stankovitz on Twitter. You're at Moon Mullen NBCS
yep.
on Twitter. And be sure to follow us on NBC Sports Chicago for our complete coverage. And remember to tune in for Bears pre- and post-game live before Sunday's game and after Sunday's game mm-hmm. on NBC Sports Chicago. For John Moon Mullen, I'm JJ Stankovitz here at Halas Hall.